As through this week you've been considering the king, you cannot go very far in considering the king without knowing something about his kingdom. When I look at the kingdom of God today, I'm well aware of the fact, brethren, that we live in troubled times. It's sometimes frightening, so frightening as you look at the lives of people and the attitudes of people. There are a lot of people today who seem to be leaving the church. And our chicken littles are saying that the sky is falling. Some have said that this is probably the last generation of the church. This is not the last generation of the church. If the Lord does not come soon, this is not the last generation of the church.
Amen.
He built it and promised that it would last until he came again. And when Jesus Christ comes, the church will be here to welcome his return. I remember years ago when Brother King published the Old Past Pulpit in the late 40s. Some of the men who's pictured in that book, preachers in our brotherhood, didn't stay. I remember in the late 60s and early 70s, some of our preachers left the faith and took brethren with them. And some of our people are leaving them. But the sky, brethren, is not falling. In the 6th chapter of the book of John, we find Jesus preaching to a group of people some very hard things. The scripture says in verse 53, "Then Jesus said to them, Verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." In verse 61, the Bible said that Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. And he said to them, "Doth this offend you?" And then when you drop down to verse 66, the Bible said, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Even in the day of Jesus, even with the benefit of the master teacher, some were leaving Jesus and departing the faith that he delivered. Some people leave our fellowship, and brethren, ask why. Tonight I don't want to talk so much about those leaving as I do want to talk about those who are staying. Is there a problem tonight with the Lord? There is none. Is there a problem tonight with his church? There is none. I guess really the only problem that we have in the church is the Lord let some of us in it. We're very imperfect. And sometimes even it seems that some like to even enjoy proving that they're imperfect. Some of our people have problems. Some of our people are drifting from the Word of God. What is my responsibility to the Lord? And that's where my responsibility lies. My responsibility is to Him. And I believe that my responsibility to the Lord is to stand and to stand fast. Because someone else is leaving, should I even consider that? Do you remember back when Jimmy and you decided to go someplace and you asked your mother and she said no? And you said to her, "Well, Jimmy's mom said he can go." And she said, "If Jimmy jumped off of a bridge, do you think you should?" Folks, that's the first thing they teach a mother at mother's school. That's the first thing they teach them. And all of us have heard it. Well, folks, some folks are jumping off the bridge. And I ain't going. And neither should you. I have a responsibility to remain faithful. Jesus said to the suffering church at Smyrna, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Peter was even more specific when he said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that lies within you." with meekness and fear. Sometimes we don't do very good with the meekness and fear business. But we need to always be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. Tonight, for a few minutes, I want to talk about some things that explain why I'm staying. I know things may not be right in some people's lives. I know things may not be right in some congregations. My relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ demands of me that I stay exactly where I am, and that's the church of Jesus Christ. I am still a member of the church of Jesus Christ simply because the church of Christ has a strong dedication to the Word of God and to a study of it. It is upon that book that we stand. And if we do not stand on that book, then you're already gone. In Mark chapter 13, verse 31, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Centuries of time have passed, and the Word of God still stands. If the world lasts centuries yet, the Word of God will still stand. When John saw the judgment scene in Revelation chapter 20, he said that the dead, small and great, were gathered before the judge, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 16 and verse 17, Paul said to Timothy that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished on every good works. The Word of God is the only thing that thoroughly furnishes us to every good work. There is no man-made creed. There is no newspaper article or magazine article. There is no doctrine of men that can furnish you with the truths that can bring to you eternal life. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The word inspiration there simply means it's God breathed. In the creation story, he made man in his own image and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You see, there was something that was there. There was something that was made. But it was not alive. And while that lay in the hands of the Almighty God, he breathed into its nostrils the breath of life, and it became a living soul. I don't believe there's ever a time in this world that you can be any closer to God than when you're reading his word. When you read his word, sense his breath. I really thought in my relationship with my wife, I knew something about breath and the tenderness of those moments. When I got a grandbaby, laid back in my recliner and laid her up on my chest, and she fell fast asleep, and I could lay there and listen to that little body breathe. I don't think I'd ever felt anything like that before in my life. It is the essence of life. God breathed into our nostrils from the very beginning. And when we have spiritual life, that spiritual life is only found in the Word of God. And when you drift away from the Word of God, you lose that life. It is God breathed. And that's where you get close to Him. You don't get close to Him in experiences. You don't get close to Him in warm, fuzzy feelings. You get close to Him when you hear His word. I'm still a member of the Church of Christ today because it is the church of Scripture. You know, the prophet said said the church was coming in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Jesus promised to build it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And he did exactly that. And the record is told in the second chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 38 through verse 47. The church today is the creation of God. The church today is according to God's eternal purpose. The church of Jesus Christ was always and forever, eternally, in the mind of God. It was always His plan. Our relationship with God today cannot be separated from the church. That's why it's so frightening when people leave the church, because they leave their relationship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The apostolic epistles to the church usually began with the love and peace of God and were followed by His instructions on how to become God. I'm not going to take the time to read this, but if you're taking notes, write down Colossians 3, 1 through 10. Because that's exactly what the apostle is saying. That growing in faith and ceasing to sin prepares me for eternal life with God. Sometimes we don't get it right. Sometimes our leaders, our preachers may not always be right. And I know that seems frustrating and disappointed when we live within a group of people, a community of people, and things just aren't going like they ought to be. There was a medieval manuscript that I think shares this truth. A very frustrated monk said, "The church is like Noah's Ark. If it wasn't for the storm outside, you couldn't stand the smell inside." There's a storm outside, brethren. There's a storm outside that you cannot survive unless you're in His ark of safety. I'm staying where I am. I'm still a member of the Church of Christ because of the doctrine of baptism. If there is a king and the king has a kingdom, I need to know how to get into it. And the Word of God teaches me that by faith in Jesus Christ and the repentance of my sins, by confessing and acknowledging that He is the Son of God, I can be immersed in water. And all of my sins can be washed away. And I can be added to His church as the 3,000 were in that passage we noticed in Acts chapter 2. There are two occasions in Acts chapter 8, verse 30 through 40, where the conversion of the eunuch is told. And the story of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 are the two stories that I really like to share with people before they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those stories are so simple. I think the eunuch illustrates it well when the preacher joins himself to the chariot and the eunuch hears the gospel of Jesus Christ for the very first time. As a result of hearing the gospel of Jesus, he believes in Jesus. And upon his faith in Christ, he sees water and turns to the preacher and says, "What's going to keep me from being baptized?" It's amazing, isn't it? Simple truth that cannot be misunderstood. In the case of the Philippian jailer, there was a jailer that came into the jail cell after the earthquake, brought a light, and asked what he must do to be saved. Sometime in the wee hours of that morning, he and his household were baptized into Jesus Christ. That family, I'm sure, didn't know much more about the Word of God than your little children do today. And on their faith in Christ, they could be immersed in water for the remission of their sins. Closing tonight, one of the reasons I'm still a member of the Church of Christ is because of its worship. I'd like to talk a long time about this, but I have just a minute or so left. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because of the Lord's Supper. We sing an old song sometime that says, "Jesus, keep me near the cross." And every Sunday morning, He does. The Word of God tells us in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the disciples came together the first day of the week to break bread. That's what disciples do. That's what's critical to us. We come and sit at the table of God. We examine ourselves. And when we examine ourselves, and I see Don as I know Don, I recognize that by the love and the grace of God, I get to sit at the King's table. What a privilege we have in sitting at the king's table. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm not leaving. You may, my family may, my best friend may, my favorite preacher may. I've been invited to sit at the king's table. That's where I'm staying. You can't kick me out. I ain't leaving. This is where I live. This is my life. And I, till the day I die, will always be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ.